What a great day to be alive. What a great day to have breath in our bodies. And a great day to know Jesus. Great time to be walking with him and seeing the movement of the Spirit throughout the earth in these days, and to see the shifts and the shakings that God is doing, and those things that he's calling us to partner with him in. We just had, as Andy said, 3 mornings of prayer over our town and prayer walking our streets. And it's been beautiful to be able to do that with, I think we had 5 churches involved in those 3 days, all just declaring blessing over our town, our neighborhood, our communities, our businesses, our families, our children. It's declaring the blessing of God, the favor of God over our town. And you know, the Bible says that when we gather together in unity, not only do we command blessing, he commands a blessing. He commands a blessing. So we know that today, if you're in the conurbation of Christchurch, Muddyford, Iford, you know that your community has been blessed, not just by us, but actually by God himself. He has commanded blessing, and that blessing will come through the Spirit, through us, through the Lord, into your every area of influence, every sphere of atmosphere in where you live and where you dwell. So we just want to praise God for that this morning. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in future days. So Father, we just bless your word this morning. We bless your word, God, to go forth with power. We bless it, God, to be transformational. We bless it to challenge mindsets. And Lord, we cast down every spirit of darkness that would stand against the release of your word today. Lord, we raise up your name, Jesus, that your name is exalted among us this morning, Father God. We bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Over the last while, God has been reminding me of how he got me, you know, how he captivated me, how he won my heart, and all the little things and the people that he put in place for that to happen. You know, none of you have ever come to Jesus just by yourself. There's always, God has always instigated others around you. Maybe it's been praying family, or praying mothers and fathers, or siblings, or grandmothers, or great grandmothers and fathers that have prayed you into the kingdom. And God has worked with all different scenarios and situations and people to bring you into the place of believing. You know, that is his great love. He didn't just do a one-off thing and then give up on you. He pursued you. He persisted, and he has won your heart. If you're listening this morning, God persisted. He went on a journey to captivate you. He went on a journey filled with love to win your heart for him, because his heart is so in love with you. If you don't know Jesus today, you're not listening to this by any coincidence. This is a God incidence today, that you're on here, that you're listening to this message. And I pray that I will be one of those people that God will use to open up your heart to believing in Jesus, and to believe that you have a need of him, that you want to have a relationship with Jesus today, that you want to know him and to surrender your life to God. So he's been reminding me of how he won me, and the battles that he went through for me to captivate me. So I was thinking back to when, you know, I was brought up in a very straight Baptist church, quite a upper working to middle class church, you know, where everybody was very decent. Everybody was very respectful, at least on the outside. Everybody was very polite. You know, everybody knew their place. They all had their seat. And that's the kind of church that I grew up in, whereas you didn't speak unless you were spoken to, you know, especially as a young person. And then when I was 19, God just captivated me. You know, he encountered me in a way that I'd never been encountered before, just with love, with this overwhelming love and this compulsion to give my life to him. I had this compulsion where I literally left a concert And I ran down the hallway of this church and I banged on the doors and I said, is there anybody there? I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to get saved. And that is the compulsion that he put within me to come to him, that how he drew me by love into his presence. After that, I went through a theological college, again, just learning, gaining knowledge and understanding of how to study scriptures and of the scriptures. And then I began to God began to bring other people into my life. My future husband, well, not now future, but he was not my husband at the time. Other people around me, church, different people where they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I had always battled this because I always felt it was very out of control. You know, it was always very out of control and it always looked messy to me. And I was brought up not to be messy, especially in church. So God began to really challenge me and I began to search the scriptures about the Holy Spirit and who is the Holy Spirit and what is the Holy Spirit and why do we need the Holy Spirit? And he began to take me on this incredible journey of gently introducing me to the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. By that, I mean when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when there's a physical, tangible feeling of something other than yourself, but you know it is of God upon your physical being, that something is stirring on the inside and resting on the outside. And I came to a place where one night we were at a little church in Derry, in Londonderry in Ireland, and the minister stood up and he said, you know, he was going to speak on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh, no, because I knew God was calling me to step into this arena, this new level of relationship with him. And as he spoke, I had this stirring on the inside of me. My stomach was going, everything was going. I began to tremble and I was like, oh, I wish he would just hurry up and finish so that I could get up to the front and I could get prayer for this thing. You know, I just want this. God is drawing me into this. And Lord, I need this. So just tell him to hurry up and finish so that I can get up to the front. And at the end, he said, is there anybody? Yes, 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 yes. Up we went. I think there was three or four of us went up and he prayed for us. And I was just overwhelmed, still trying to control, but overwhelmed by the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. And I went home that night, transformed in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Absolutely. I met the person of the Holy Spirit. I met the person, not just the idea of, not just the knowing of, but I met the person. I encountered the person of the Holy Spirit, this beautiful, beautiful Spirit of God that dwells in us. I encountered him in the physical realm and it was powerful. I then went from that and had other encounters where I still watched these people, you know, being shaking and quaking on the floor. And I was like, well, I'm not doing that. You know, it's like you're out of control. And then one night we went to this church in Coleraine and there was these six American dudes there. And at the end, they said, oh, we're going to do a fire tunnel. Well, I was like, I just want to go home. I don't want to be in this. Fire tunnels are messy. People do weird things in fire tunnels. How do you know it's God? You know, it's all emotion. So my husband says, let's go. And I'm like, no, I'm not going up. And he said, no, let's go. We need to go and do this. I'm like, no, I'm not going up. And he said, no, come on. My kids were there and they were like, come on, Mom, come on. And I walked up and as I went through this fire tunnel, they did three arches and each arch I went through, God came in such a powerful way and he undid my heart for him. And I literally had to be carried. I became one of those messy people that had to be carried across the floor and they put me against a pillar and I slid down this pillar onto the floor and I literally crawled out of that church that night because I could not get on my feet. I could not get on my feet. Do I regret going? No. I still remember the feeling of the intense, overwhelming fire and power of the Holy Spirit that came upon me that night, that undid my flesh man. As I surrendered the flesh to him, he came and took over. He came and enveloped me, saturated me, marinated me in his power and his presence, and undid my heart again and again and again. From then on, it's just been this crazy journey with the Holy Spirit. And he is such a good friend. He is such a good leader. He is such a good director. He is power. He is truth. He is wisdom. He is revelation. So I want to speak to you. That is the influence that I am under. Even this morning, I am under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Someone asked me way back, do you want to be an influencer? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And he says, well, what do you want to influence? I'm like, well, I don't know. Well, who do you want to influence? I don't know. Do you want to have influence over children or people or animals or what? I don't know. So who or what influences you and your world today? What influences your world? What influence are you under today? What is the covering over you that influences your thoughts, your actions, your desires, your direction, how you communicate everything, what you communicate? What is the influence, the power that you are under that takes you forward in this season of life? 1 John 4:4 says this: you are of God. You are of God. If you know Christ today, you are of God. It says, little children, you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? So the Lord was saying here, you have overcome all those things that have held you bound. You have this great power living within you that overcomes everything that the enemy would ever try to throw against you. You have an internal fire that burns up every assignment of the enemy. There are so many stories in the New Testament of battles between good and evil, and in the old, all the way through scripture. But in Acts 19, there was a man possessed of an evil spirit, yeah, who leapt on the 7 sons of Sceva, overpowering them and sent them running naked and wounded. Okay, so this guy was possessed. He overtook 7 men, 7 sons of Sceva, the prophet, and left them. They just scattered naked and wounded. Mark 5 tells us of a possessed man. He was possessed by a legion of demons that nobody could tame, or chains could not hold him. Chains could not hold him. Can you imagine? And when reading these stories, I remember when I was a much younger believer, even before I really gave my life fully to Christ, I often used to focus on how powerful spirits of darkness were, which influence people to do supernatural things. Yeah. So there's so much in scripture. And I think, you know, when you're a young believer, you know you're being drawn to the supernatural, but what is it in the supernatural that you're being drawn to? Because we can actually be so deceived by the enemy to believe that the enemy is stronger than the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. So we want to, and yes, spirits of darkness can perform supernatural acts as seen through the scriptures, but greater is he that in you than he that is in the world. So the Lord began to change my mindset as I continued to like study the word of God and experience him personally. And I began to process the truth that if one man under the influence of evil spirits can do so much, then what are the possibilities of a man or woman or child under the influence of the Holy Spirit, who is greater than the spirits of darkness? So if we have a spirit living within us that has overcome the world, that is greater, that has put all things under his feet, then what are the possibilities in our lives of being under that influence and following the direction of the Holy Spirit? What can we do supernaturally as compared to the supernatural acts of demon-possessed people. Surely, as believers, the Holy Spirit in us is greater than the spirit of the world. Therefore, what I can do, what you can do as a believer, has to be greater than those who are possessed of the evil spirit, because we hold the Holy Spirit, the spirit of fire, the spirit of truth. If evil spirits can break chains or overcome seven men, then perhaps we have massively underestimated what the believer can do under the influence of the greatest power in all creation. Come on. Come on. I think we mistakenly tend to possess a greater understanding sometimes of what a demon-possessed person can do than a Holy Ghost-filled person can do. You know, sometimes I see people that are struggling and you hear others saying, oh, I think it's a demon. No, sometimes they're just struggling. Sometimes they're just battling things of the flesh. Sometimes they're just going through hard times. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Yeah. Romans 12:2 says to us that the way to transformation is through the renewing of our mind, how we think, what we process. And when the Gospels use this word repent, it is derived from the Greek word metanoeo, which means basically to change the way you think, to change the way you think. So we want to be those that are operating in having our minds transformed, repenting of old ways and transforming to the ways of Christ. And so much of the church today, of people that we've met along our journey, believe that opening spiritual doors can give the enemy a legal access to a person, causing them not only to do things that they've never desired to do, but also enabling them to do superhuman acts of strength and defy natural laws of gravity, like body contortions, levitation, all those different things. And Christians often hold the belief to be true and fear the spirit world or fear the enemy. They fear the spirit world, or they fear the enemy, or they see dark spirits in everything. Yet most people think that when we open a spiritual door to the Holy Spirit of God, that he is unable to transform us, to change our desires, or enable us to do supernatural acts. So there's so much of the church today that believes that the darkness can do all these supernatural things, but here they are, poor little Christians, and they're like, have to be victims of this. And I'm saying to you today, you do not have to be a victim. The power that is in you is greater than the power that is in the world. He that lives in you is greater than he that is in the world. So I believe that under the Holy Spirit's influence, under the power of God, we should be able to do the greater things that Jesus said we would do. He said we would do greater things. John 14, verse 12 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever believes in me, I guess that's you today, if you're listening, if you believe in him, you will do the works that I've been doing. So each one of you listening this morning is capable of doing everything that Christ did, everything that he did. There's nothing in there that he says, you will do the works that I do, except you will not do this or this. He says, you will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So, walking on water, healing the sick, being translated, having visions, hearing the voice of God, casting down devils, should all be part of the normal Christian life. Yet we limit God and the working of God's authority and power through us because of our wrong doctrine, because we feel unworthy, because of false humility. You know, oh, well, I don't know if Jesus would do that for me. Oh, you know, I'm just, that's pride. False humility is actually pride and a fear of making mistakes or looking foolish. Yeah. So if Jesus says that all the works that he has done, we can do, there's nothing that we cannot do, because the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. The same power, that resurrection power, it says the mighty strength of God that raised him from the dead, that same resurrection power lives within you. So I believe it's time for us to rise up and shine and let his light devour the darkness and the works of the enemy through our lives. He has already overcome. It is finished. It's finished. Often, you know, people put it all on the leaders. Oh, the leaders will do that, you know, and the leaders are the powerful ones, you know, or not, maybe, depending on your thought process. But having authority over darkness was given to you when you were born again of the Spirit of God. Overcoming the powers of darkness was a gift to you when you were born again through the Spirit of God. You received the revelation of your position as light in the darkness. What does light do? Light dispels darkness. Wherever you go, you shake the darkness. You dispel the darkness. That is the power that you carry. That's what I carry. That's what you carry as a believer, as one who has surrendered their lives to Christ, who is filled with the Holy Spirit. You shatter darkness. You dispel everything of darkness is gone at your presence because of what you carry. If you're waiting today for a visible measurement of your qualification, you'll be waiting a long time. The only qualification that is required is being born again of the Spirit of God and a seed of faith that grows as it is exercised, watered, and fed within you. Matthew chapter 5 says this. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." You who are watching today, you might be going, "Mia, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know who I am. You don't know the struggles I've got." It doesn't matter. You are the light of the world. If you have the Spirit of God living in you today, you are the light of the world. And that word light means to shine or to make something manifest. It is to uncover, to make manifest. So our light should make the kingdom of God visibly manifest in the world around us, around you. And yes, the world will see the character of God in us as in like unto holiness, you know, but and being a bit different. But it's more than that. It's more than that, guys. God has given you authority to take dominion. He has given you authority to take dominion. Say that over yourself today. I have authority to take dominion over darkness. I have authority over darkness. I have authority to take dominion. He also, it means that you are called to restore all of creation into its proper health and order. So say that to you again. Put your hand in your chest and say, "I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I am called to restore all of creation into its proper health and proper order. I have God-given authority to do that." You know, I actually believe that the light in us is much more than symbolic. I believe that it is a substance that affects the atmosphere around us. It affects our lives. It affects the supernatural realm. It is living and active. The person of the Holy Spirit is not just a spirit that is untouchable or intangible. He is substance, and it affects the very atmosphere. Everywhere you go, the substance of Holy Spirit in you and upon you affects the atmosphere where you go. So it is so important that we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that we spend time getting to know him, that we understand what it is that we carry. What is it that you carry? What do you carry when you have this beautiful Holy Spirit within you? You know, the light in you will be made manifest or seen in various degrees according to the faith and the understanding that you carry. So according to your, the Bible says, according to your faith be it unto you. According to your faith and according to your understanding of the Holy Spirit, the light that you carry will be seen or made manifest, because you will manifest what you understand. You will manifest what you know. You manifest what you behold. So it's like the measure of the weight and authority that your light carries will be based on the measure of your belief that you carry the substance of the Holy Spirit, the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit, and understand his power and his impact that can be made through you. So the Holy Spirit is not living in you because he needs a place to stay. You know, he's not like hovering around homeless. He's not a homeless person going, oh, I need somewhere to kip for the night. He lives in you because he wants fellowship with you. He lives in you because he wants to manifest the power of the kingdom through you. There is a purpose in his dwelling in you. He wants to use you, to partner with you, to push back the gates of hell, to pull down the assignments of the enemy, to cast down everything that stands against the knowledge of God, and to bring the manifest power of the kingdom on the earth today. John 20:21 says this, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I also send your leaders. No, I also send the missionaries. No, I send you. I send you today. You're listening today. God is sending. This is for you. He says, I'm sending you as the Father sent me. What did the Father send him to do? To restore the earth into relationship with the Father, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, to bring good news, to set captives free, to see the lame walk, the blind see, to establish oaks of righteousness that would rebuild the places where the enemy is devastated, to bring health and order and hope. 1 John 3 says, the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Yeah, he came to destroy the works of the devil. So if the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil and he says, I'm going back to the Father so that my spirit can come and live in you, what is your purpose today? What is your purpose today? Your purpose is to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy everything that the devil had been given power over in the Garden of Eden, things that torment, things that bind and blind and disempower, depression, sickness, disease. But he has also equipped you. He has equipped you with an anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, that heals, that casts down hopelessness and fear, that brings deliverance and brings release to people, that enables people. It empowers them, establishes them, and brings revelation of Christ to them. What you carry is so powerful, so powerful. If Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy and his spirit lives in you, the purpose of that Holy Spirit is to destroy the works of the enemy and to make the Father known, to make Jesus known, to make the Father known. And often today, it just seems to me sometimes that believers have greater faith in the power of the devil than they do in the power of God. And it's time for that to change. It's time for that to change. It's time for believers to be believing believers, not unbelieving believers, but believing believers. Sometimes the unbelievers have more belief in the power of God than believers do. And they're waiting for the church to rise up. You know, the scriptures say that all creation groans and yearns for the sons of God to be revealed. They're waiting for you to know who you are. They're waiting for you to know what you carry. They're waiting for you to manifest the influence that you're under. Every new revelation transforms your mind and your understanding of him. As your mind and understanding are transformed, so you will begin to manifest that in your life to people around you. It enables you to do these exploits and go beyond your natural capabilities or talents. Can we heal the sick with our hands? No, but can the Spirit of God in us? Yes. Can we raise the dead? No, but can the Spirit of God in us? Yes. Can we pull down strongholds of darkness? No, but can the Spirit of God in us? Yes. And who does he want to use? He wants to use you. He wants to use you. When we truly grasp the power of believing, and it's activated through our faith, we will begin to do the greater things. We will begin to do the greater things. You have all that you need. You have all that you need. You know, I hear people speaking of towns and cities or countries that are under curses or their dark places. Well, you know, it's time for the people of God to rise up and experience these same places being held under the power and the blessing of God, to begin to declare they are no longer in darkness, but they are under blessing and the favor and the power of Almighty God. If sinful people can create curses in a region by constant declarations and acts and immoral acts or evil actions, then it's time to step up and believe that we create strongholds of blessing through being the light and releasing the light of the Holy Spirit's substance, his power, his fire that brings life and transformation through acts of prayer walking, through blessing the land, through worship, through acts of kindness, through declarations, through taking communion with others in unity and declaring the goodness of God, the favor of God over the land, over your town, over your community, over your family, over your street, over your government, over your children and your children's children. It's time, guys. Ephesians 6 says, rise up, put on your armor, that you will be able to stand against what? The wiles of the enemy. The wiles of the enemy. He is active in our day. But the Holy Spirit is more active. It says, arise and shine, and the glory of God has come upon you, and the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. It has risen upon you. It's risen. It comes out of you. It gets made manifest through you. It's time, believers, to be believing and to be the manifestation of Christ and use the transformational, mighty strength of God fire in you to transform those around you. Everything you do should be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power that raises the dead and has overcome and disarmed every force of darkness. Everything we do should be a seed into the atmosphere with blessing and transformation. Everywhere you go, you should be releasing seeds of the Spirit that will germinate and grow. Proverbs 11:11 says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Okay, you hear that? By the blessing of the upright. Who are the upright? You're the upright. By the blessing of the upright, the city is what? Exalted. Raised up, blessed, prosperous, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Your city can be overthrown by the mouth of the wicked if you do not rise up and be the blessing that God has called you to be. If we really believe that our city is exalted by our blessing, then by us being the light and releasing that life-giving light, then perhaps we would actually begin to spend more time speaking blessing over it. If it works for a city, then it might work for your workplace. It may work for an individual or a family member that you're pursuing for Christ. It's time to step out of the boat, guys. It's time to step out at his call and walk fearlessly, fearlessly with him into visions and dreams, greater things than you could ever imagine possible through your life. Being transported to minister to someone or in another country like Philip was with the Ethiopian eunuch. You do not know where God is going to call you to be. I remember one morning the Lord woke me up, just as an example. The Lord woke me up and he called me to come into the lounge. And we have an archway in our lounge from the dining room into the lounge. And as I walked through the archway into the lounge, all the room, this was about 4:15 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. And all of our lounge was like smoke. It was like mist that I couldn't see clearly through. I couldn't discern where the sofas were or the fireplace or... It was just like I was in a cloud, a thick cloud, and I couldn't see. And the Lord said, step toward the light, come this way. And he led me, I don't know, it didn't feel like my lounge, but he led me to another archway, and I could see this door, and the door was partly open, and it was bright, bright, bright lights inside. And he said, I want you to step through the doorway. And as I stepped through the doorway, I was in Cambodia. in a hospital at the bedside of my grandson. My grandson was on life support, and they had said that he wasn't going to make it through the night. And the Lord told me to put my hand on him. He was all tubes and wires and this life support thing in his throat. My daughter was sitting with her back to me on the bed, with her feet up and her hand on his leg. And I reached out, and I could see my hand coming through this mist, through this cloud. And I was like, oh my gosh, am I really here? And your mind tries to overcome what is happening in the spirit realm. And the Lord is saying, don't think about it. Just do it. Just do it. Just flow with me. And I put my hand on his little chest. And the Lord said, I want you to declare this over him. And I began to declare what the Lord put upon my heart over him. And once I'd finished, or as I was declaring, he opened his eyes. Now, this kid was in a coma, dying. And he opened his eyes and he looked at me. And I was like, you can see me? You see me? Am I really here? and so I stroked my daughter's hair. And I just kissed her. And at that, I was back in the lounge and went back into my bed. I couldn't sleep. I was shaking and trembling. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to tell everybody about this. This is amazing. And the next morning, we got a call from our daughter to say that not only was he off life support, he was being released from hospital. He'd made such a transformational turnaround. Come on. You do not know what God will do with your life. You do not know when you say yes to him, when you say, I want the fire. I want your power, God. I want this transformational light to be able to be made manifest through my life. I will trust you with everything. I will trust you with the experiences in your spirit. I will trust you to go where you want me to go and to do what you want me to do. You do not know what he will do with your life, or who he will transform through your obedience. So what does it look like being under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, you will do the things that I have done and greater, yeah? Well, let's look at a few. When Jesus was on earth, he did many things. John 11, he raised the dead, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised others from the dead, raised other people from the dead. But this one, John 11, he raised the dead. John 2, he changed water into wine. He said, greater things you will do. You will do the things I have done. John 5, cripples were healed. John 6, walking on water, multiplication of food. John 9, blind eyes were open. And then in Acts 2, through the power, the outpouring and the filling of the Holy Ghost on believers, on the disciples, what happened then? Well, Acts 2, it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, that the fire of God rested upon them. They spoke in tongues and languages. I think I counted 15 different languages. They were drunk in the Holy Spirit. They were manifesting as if they were drunk in the Spirit. And the result of that was the people around them were both amazed and they were perplexed. It drew them. It got their attention. And in that place, the word was preached. 3,000 people were added. Signs and wonders happened. And every day they gathered to pray, to break bread, be taught, perform signs and wonders amongst each other and amongst those in their community. They sold property for the needs of others. Acts 4, the Spirit came again. Peter was filled with the Spirit. He preached to the Sanhedrin, the church religious leaders of the day. He preached boldly. Believers gathered together. The power of the Holy Spirit literally shook the room. They were filled with the Spirit of God. They preached the word of God boldly. All believers had great power. You notice it wasn't just Peter. All believers had great power. That means you today. You are the all believers. All means all. Ephesians 1, the Spirit. What is it? The Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of wisdom. That the eyes of your heart would be open to see and understand so that you can partner with the power of God. Ephesians 1, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. The mighty, mighty strength of God. You're seated in heavenly realms. You have access to all the thoughts and the ways and what's happening in the spirit realm today. From the access of the top heaven, the place where God dwells, seated with him. You have great authority. You have supernatural ability to love unconditionally. You have access directly to the Father through the Holy Spirit that nobody has had outside of Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5 says, be filled. And that be filled means be continuously being filled. Be continuously being filled. Colossians 1, strengthened with all power, qualified to receive inheritance. Philippians 4, you can do all things through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:15, those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, you're Christ's ambassadors. You're Christ's ambassadors. Now, if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what does. You know, we looked at the things that Jesus did, and he said, you can do all the things that he did. So you can do all those things. But also, with the power of the Holy Spirit, there's all the things that manifested of the Spirit that overcame darkness in the New Testament when Christ poured out the Spirit of God. All these things, all this power that we carry. Through Christ and the power of the cross and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, you are equipped to bring life and healing everywhere. Everywhere the curse of sin and death has been, everywhere destruction has been, you have and you are equipped to bring life and healing and restoration. You're not just a light on a hill. You're a light that carries influence, guys. The degree and manifestation of that light will be the measure of your belief and your faith. Are you going to take that little seed of faith that you've got and step out and pray for someone who's sick? And if you don't see something happen, are you going to keep exercising that seed of faith until something happens? Or are you just going to walk away and say, oh, I've tried it. It doesn't work. How many times have we heard that in the kingdom? Oh, I've had prophetic words that have never come to pass. And, you know, I've seen all that Holy Spirit stuff. Seriously? You are listening and bending to the lies of the enemy. You're under the influence of the enemy's lies at that moment. You need to get yourself back under the influence of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, back into that position of being seated with authority and power, and begin to exercise again that seed of faith in you and let it begin to germinate, begin to sprout so that it possesses many seeds that you can scatter for the kingdom to see them grow and change and transform lives around you. He is a person. He is a living, indwelling, empowering, directing, life-giving, fire-carrying person of the Holy Spirit. Whose influence are you under today? You know, what you behold, you will become. What you behold, you will become. What you become is what you will manifest to others around you. What you manifest is seed unto life or death around you. Your seed is the influence that others will behold. What they behold, they will become. What influences you will change you. The change in you will change them. The change in them will change others. You are important. What you believe is important. What you carry is important. What you say is important. What you do is important. What you behold, you become. What you become, you will manifest. What you manifest will become seed. Your seed is the influence that others behold. What they behold, they will become. What influences you will change you. What changes you will change others. The change in them will change others and influence them. So what influences you? The world, the media, or the living word of God, the truth of the Lord? You know, I know a little girl at the moment who's 12 and she's reading a book for school called Boy on Boy. Boy on Boy. If you don't influence your children, the world will. If you don't teach them about the power of God in them, the world will tell them about something different. What are you influencing? Who are you influencing today? Each truth that you grasp today, I've given you a pile of truth here today. Each truth that you grasp today is a launching pad for another revelation of God. The next revelation will release an expectancy within you for greater exploits. Greater exploits that you do release greater faith. That little seed begins to grow, and the greater faith leads to great faith, leading to greater exploits. Jesus said, you will do what I have done, and you will do even greater things. We're coming into land here, guys. Whatever influences you will be the influence you give to others around you. Be the influence that releases life. Be the influence that releases everything that they need, because you contain everything they need in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember that you are the light to the world. This light in you is called to be made manifest. You will always manifest what is on the inside of you. And today I pray that you will be under the influence of the greatest influencer of all time, the Holy Spirit, the precious, beautiful Holy Spirit of God. I want us to be like the disciples that were so full of the fire and the power of God, that our very bodies are evidence of him. It says they are not drunk as you suppose, but this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit. What influence are you under? What influences do you need to remove from your life? Maybe there are people that are speaking an alternate influence over you and around you. Maybe there's things you need to let go of that are influencing you, that are not pushing you forward to be who you need to be. I want to encourage you today to, as we said in Ireland, get under the spout where the glory comes out, to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Spend time with him. Let him fill you again and again and again. In Acts 1:2, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they had all these manifestations and power and people coming to Christ. Acts 4, it says the Holy Spirit came again and shook the very foundations of where they were standing. And it transformed them even into selling property to give to the needy. The church in that day was not bankrupt. It was rich. It was rich in power. It was rich in love. It was rich in healings and deliverance and revelation and truth. But it was also rich in finance, because people gave. They gave. They gave their time. They gave their lives to the kingdom of God. So I just want to pray for you now. Father God, Lord, today, if you want to be just filled with the Holy Spirit, or you want more of the Holy Spirit, you want to get to know him more, just put your hand on your heart and just say, God, I receive. Holy Spirit, I receive you today. Come, baptize me again and again and again. Come, pour your fire within me again and again and again. Let me be a power-filled, fire-filled, life-giving partner with you today. Lord, I impart just a blessing over these ones today, that they would be the influencers that you have called them to be. Lord, as they step in deeper into you, into the influence of your spirit, God, of your words, of how you're directing, of how you're leading, God, that they would be light givers to all around them, that they would be the manifestation of your glory, that they would be the manifestation of who you are, that the atmosphere would shift around them, and that they would know this great power that lives within them, this transformational power that transforms atmospheres, workplaces, families, businesses, children. We thank you for your precious, precious Holy Spirit. Teach us, Lord, how to partner with him more. Holy Spirit, that you would reveal yourself more to us. Be made manifest upon us. We give up our right to being in control. We hand control over to you. We're willing to look foolish for you. We're willing to be of no reputation, so that we will see darkness overcome and life and blessing brought into every sphere of influence that you have given us. In Jesus' mighty and powerful name, amen and amen. Thank you for watching today. Thank you for partnering with us today. I really hope this has been a challenge for you. I hope it has blessed you. I hope that it shifts something in you. If you'd like to even partner with us in giving us a sowing into this ministry, you can do that through our website of fathershouse.co.uk. And there'll be a little button up there where you can donate and you can just bless this ministry and the work that that God is doing through this ministry today. So we just want to release a blessing over you. May the grace of God flood your life. May you know his favor and his goodness over you all the days of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.